Church, welcome to our weekend celebration. A special welcome to those who are new to us, and I hope you will have a rich and wonderful experience of the Lord's presence in this celebration. Friends, please take care of yourself and let's all do our part to contain this third wave of COVID-19 infection. As always, let's stand up right now and lift up our Bible and declare, "This is my Bible." So can you do that right now? Everyone stand and lift up your Bible. Are you ready? Okay, one, two, go. "This is my Bible. It is the Word of God. It informs my mind, inspires my heart, and instructs my behavior. So help me, God." So let's read together the passage of Scripture right in front of you as well. And so let's declare the Word of the Lord aloud. Ready? One, two, go. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16. "This is what the Lord says, stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths, ask where the good way is, and walk in it. And you will find rest for your souls, but you said, we will not walk in it." Let's pray. Holy Spirit, will you come and fill our minds right now, God, and fill our hearts and fill our spirit, that we may hear, God, your voice speaking into our lives. Lord, minister into every need of ours, but not only ours, God. We pray that you will use us as a result of the transformation of our own lives, Lord, to touch other people as well. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. We are continuing in this series of asking ourselves, what's next? And what is the Lord saying to each of us during this season? And this is what I sense. Take the ancient paths. Take the ancient paths. It may sound like a strange phrase, but you will understand this by the end of this sermon. We have seen many movies of people lost at sea and how they have absolutely no control over where they are going as a sea current or wind takes them. For many of us, there have been times when we are drifting in life as well. Well, while boats in the sea that drift were due to a lack of fuel or their sails were disabled, spiritual drifting usually happens for one reason only, and that is neglect. We didn't pay attention or failed to attend to our spiritual growth. Far too many believers started out strong in their faith, but they drifted away when things get tough rather than staying the course. What is so scary is that spiritual drifting is so very easy to do. All a person has to do to drift is to do absolutely nothing. Drifting requires no effort. Staying on course, on the other hand, requires a lot of energy. Drifting is often so subtle that by the time you realize it, we are far away from where we had originally been. And this is often the case for Christians who drift away from the Lord. It is not an overnight thing. It happened over months and years. Now, how many of you listening right now, you know, you are also drifting. 1 degree offset can take us miles apart later in life. And let's be aware of the danger of drifting through life. Some examples in the Bible of people who drifted away, well, Samson was one of them. He was a judge of Israel, was gifted with great strength, but he drifted and became spiritually weak and compromised. Solomon, the wisest man on earth, started off with humility and dependence on God. But the more wives he accumulated, 700 wives and 300 concubines, the more he did that, the more he drifted. Judas Iscariot, a disciple of Jesus, drifted away and betrayed Jesus. When I was about 30 years old, I was very mindful about this, how I can drift through life without realizing. And true enough, before I know it, at the click of my fingers, 30 years have passed. I'm now a 60-year-old man. Let me tell you at the end of this sermon the steps I took to prevent myself from drifting away. In this pandemic, some of us are confronted by how much we have drifted away spiritually. Life was so busy before MCO that we don't have time to look at ourselves introspectively, and when we do, we are frightened by what we see in the mirror. We all suffer from what I call chronic busyness. This is the lifestyle of the world, and somehow we are stuck in it. Now, Jesus said he doesn't want to take us out of the world, but rather to take the world out of us. And maybe this is the time that we allow the Holy Spirit to do that for us. Remember, I challenged you with this question when the MCO started in March. Will you live your life differently after this? This is about 9 months now. A good time to answer this question. So have you started to live your life differently? Or is it same old all over again? The moment life seems to go back to some normalcy, you see yourself back to the same old you. Is your soul, that means your mind, your will and emotion, chaotic and without rest? No wonder mental health for many has become such a challenge. Now there's a place for restedness in God, but unfortunately there are more restless Christians than there are rested ones. So which one are you? Or have you wasted this pandemic? So here's the wisdom of Jeremiah, a call to consider. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16, we read earlier on, this is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it. And you will find rest for your souls. But you said, we will not walk in it. And there are three lessons of paths here. Stand at the crossroads and look. The ancient paths, then walk in it. In other words, to stop and look. Ask, then walk. And here's the big idea. Acting on a right decision at a crossroad will lead to a place of rest. Let me read that again. Acting on a right decision at a crossroad will lead to a place of rest. So remember, stop and look. Ask, then walk. The first point, stop and look. I call it the reflection path. Stand at the crossroads and look. So stop and look. This is addressed to the nation of Judah, which had lost its way. It is a call by prophet Jeremiah to Judah to repent from her ways and warned of the approaching judgment for the Babylonians who will attack the nation and take them into captivity. Well, Judah was very religious in form, but they did not obey and lived out the laws of God. It is very reflective of our days today that many Christians can be religious in form from the outside, but they seem to look okay, you know, looking religious, but they're living double lives. One life in church, another life outside church, and one at home. And this is what Prophet Samuel said to King Saul when he disobeyed God, although he did a deeply religious act of animal sacrifices. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22, it says that, "Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams." In the gospel, even the teacher of the law understood this when he came to question Jesus of all the commandments, which is the most important? And this teacher responded to Jesus this way in Mark chapter 12, verse 33, "To love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, and with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." Now, this teacher of the law understood what it means to love God, and he loves God by obeying God and living out his life according to the laws of God. So the command today is to firstly stop walking. Interestingly, to stop is counterintuitive, meaning it doesn't seem to make any logical sense when the world is asking you to go faster, quicker, and to run ahead of the crowd before they catch up with you. So after you stop, look, examine your ways, open your eyes and see. Now you may have heard these phrases, slow is fast, less is more, and small is big. They are counterintuitive. So let me give you one example from less is more. There's a difference between doing things right versus doing the right things. Doing things right opposed to doing the right things. You see, you can do many things correctly, but the question is, are you supposed to do them? There's something called the Pareto principle, the 20-80 rule. The gist of this principle is that 20%, listen to this, 20% of what we do in life contributes to 80% of the expected outcome. Interesting, isn't it? If we can find out and focus on what that 20% of what we do bring the best results in our lives, wouldn't we want to do that? We can actually do less to achieve more. And that is why that counterintuitive statement, less is actually more. With that in mind, I'm sure you agree with me that we live in a, what I call to-do list world. Conventional wisdom would suggest that we use a to-do list and manage our priorities around them. With that, we also manage our energies. But there's only one problem with that. As much as we want to have a good to-do list, we must also have another list, which may even be more important than our to-do list. Do you know what that list is? Anybody wants to just make a guess right now in the next few seconds? I'll give you a few seconds. Just think. What do you think that list is apart from the to-do list? What do you think is the answer? It is a counterintuitive list. It is called a stop doing list. The problem is that some things we do are actually harmful. For example, if you want to live a healthier lifestyle, we must lose some weight, right? So what do? We exercise. So we make a to-do and priority list to exercise 5 times a week. But the problem we have is that we have not entered an entry in the stop doing list that says, stop eating nightly supper. So each night, you supper, supper, and supper until you suffer and suffer and suffer. You cannot keep eating hoping that the exercise will take it away. Or we say we want to do our quiet time every morning, but we do not include in the stop doing list, stop watching TV until 2 a.m. every night. Or we want to do well in our studies, but we do not want to put now in our stop doing list my daily 5-hour computer game time. Or if you want to save more money for the future, you have to stop online shopping during 10:10, 11:11, or 12:12. So you need to know that there are things that you need to stop doing so that your to-do list can have a multiplying effect. Discipleship is not just about scripture memory, pray more, serve more, regular quiet time alone. Well, these are great disciplines, but they will go to waste if you do not stop doing certain things. So the wisdom is, what are the things we must stop doing and what are the things we must start doing? It is a remove and replace principle. Otherwise, what we try to do will not sustain. And I have challenged many of you to become members of DUMC with our call to action, love God, serve people, and make disciples towards Christ's likeness. Now, this is a great to-do list. But what is a stop doing list? That's why we take you through a series of encounters, and one of which is the Baptism and Membership Encounter Weekend. We call it the BMEW. We help you examine your own lives, the sins and hindrances of your lives, breaking away from sins through repentance, and choosing to live a life of obedience. It means that there are certain things in our life that we must put in as our stop doing list. And these are the sins and hindrances of our life. So when we stop and start writing down and acting upon our stop doing list, we add amazing value to our to-do list in DUMC. But we also see a few who could not sustain their to-do list because they have not acted upon their stop doing list. And they fell away after some time, even though they are in an environment of faith in DUMC. So that's the part you must play or do, you know, for your own life. So stop and look. Then, number two, ask. Ask the ancient paths. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is. You see, we must learn to ask. And may I confess that this is one of the greatest struggles for us who belong to the male species when we get lost while driving. All the wives in our midst here are nodding their heads vigorously agreeing with me. Well, I'm guilty as charged. But you may say that the reason why we are refusing to ask is because we are too arrogant or proud to ask. And it's about the male ego. You may not be entirely correct either. Why don't men stop to ask? You see, when we get lost sometimes, it is not because we do not know the way or destination. Maybe we never believe we are truly lost. Or we assume we know and we will figure it out. We still think we know the way. And only when we are desperately lost, then we will ask. That sounds like us in many aspects of our lives, women included. But why go through that suffering? Why do we approach God as the final or last resort? Why not the first resort? Our human psyche is such that we think we can solve our problems by pushing a button. We want to be in charge of our own lives. So we keep pushing the button. We push more times, we push faster, or we push harder. You know, like the elevator lift buttons that only requires one push. But we think by pushing multiple times, the lift will come to us faster. Well, it doesn't work that way. When these buttons don't work, there's one final button, and it is called the panic button. And that panic button is God. It's like we're saying to God, "Don't call me God, I will call you. Let me try my way first. Let me push my button first, my agenda, my way, my convenience. And when that doesn't work, then God, I will call you." And the reason why we do not ask God daily and constantly, I think, is because we are afraid. We are afraid God will ask us for things we don't want to give to Him. We don't want to be inconvenienced by God, really. So better not ask. Then when we come to a major decision in life, we push that panic button. And then when we push that button, we have great difficulty hearing His voice and knowing His heart because we do not know how to. Let me give you an example. I have 3 sons myself, and it is my desire and hope that in their growing years, they get to know me as their father, what I am happy with or what I'm opposed to in principle. So when it comes to certain decisions in their life, when they need to ask me whether it's okay for them, they will instinctively know whether they should even ask me. They know my heart, and they do not even need to waste their time asking me certain questions. You see, so it is my prayer that it is through this that they will make good decisions based on what they know about me all their lives. More than that, I pray the things I pass on to them are things that I gleaned from my daily walk with my Heavenly Father. Meaning that not only do I point them to God the Father, I am also the representative and voice of God the Father to them. So in the same way, there are things I know I do not even need to ask my Heavenly Father, because it's simply that I know His heart as I journey with Him every day. Do you know how much heartaches that has saved me? And hopefully my children as well. See, we come across so many situations in our lives every day. Should I forgive this person? Should I purchase this? Should I pray whether I take this job? Because there's so much unethical practices there. Should I marry this person who is not a believer? Should I bribe to get things done? Should I tell a white lie? It's harmless, right? Let me give you an example. This brother came up to me one day for prayers during ministry time. He said he's been offered a job overseas which he cannot ignore, and he will be paid twice the amount he's getting now. Now, who wouldn't want to consider that? But the problem is that he needs to leave his wife and children behind, probably come back once a month to visit them. So I asked him, how long will this go on? He said, for at least 2 years. And I pressed further, do you really need the money? And he gave me the impression that, well, it's nice to have a little bit more. And without even praying, that, trust me, I don't even need to pray. I simply tell him, I don't think God wants you to go. You see, I told him that because I know God's heart in this matter. I know it because this is never God's plan for any family or any couple to be separated this way. So Jeremiah says, ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is. So good question is, what is this ancient paths then? This word ancient come from the Hebrew word olam. It gives an idea of timelessness. What is relevant then is 100% relevant today and 100% relevant for the future. Like what we read in Hebrews chapter 13 verse 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. So Jesus is timeless and eternal. Let me point you to Psalm 119:89. It says there, "Your word, Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens." Now, the ancient paths is the word of God. Not only is the word of God timeless, it is also timely. It is crucial when we are lost. It helps us to return. It is a revelation of God that helps us in our times of need. I want you to notice also that the word path is not singular, but plural. The ancient paths. Life is complex. And God has a direction in the complexity of life, whether a path, a truth, or a principle. The point is, ask for it. Life has its celebrations, its joys, sorrows, confusions, heartaches. In whatever season of our life, there is a path that will glorify God in any condition, in any season. And God has a path to meet every contingency of your life and my life. In other words, the Word of God, this Word of God, is absolutely sufficient for every condition of life, scenarios, and circumstances. Therefore, be rooted in the Holy Scripture. So stop and look to examine your life. Write a stop doing list and start spending time with Him and ask for the ancient paths, the wisdom of Scriptures. We cannot be so busy with God that we have no time for God. Let me repeat that. We cannot be so busy with God that we have no time for God. So stop and look. Ask. And finally, walk. Walk is the obedience path. And here it says that, and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. So find a good way, walk in it, find rest in your soul. This is the greatest cry of people today, especially during this pandemic, in this season of stress, fears, anxieties, and uncertainties. But when we stop and look and ask for the ancient paths, ask where the good way is, the promise of God is that you will find it, but you need to ask. You know, interestingly, you know, I'm just humorous here. God's telephone number is actually 333. Now, why do I say that? In Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3, this is what he says. "Call to me, and I will answer you, and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know." So call God, ask Him, and He will reveal to you great and unsearchable things you do not know. And once you know it, you need to walk in it. And one thing I know is this, that truth by itself does not change life. Many Christians want Jesus to be their teacher. They fill their minds with Christ's teachings. They hop from one church to another, one conference to another, one class to another class, and they regard all this teaching of Jesus as wonderful. But He's just their good teacher. There's an overdose of what I call unapplied knowledge. You see, we can know a lot about truths, but they will not change us until we come to the place where Jesus is not just our teacher, but our Lord. Let me say that again. We must come to the place where Jesus is not just our teacher, but our Lord. You see, truth does not change us. It is applied truth that changes us. Then only will you find rest. Now, how many of us need that rest today? And that rest can only come with obedience. That Jesus is not just your teacher. He is your Lord. And here's the truth again. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. So stop and look, ask and walk in it. It is the applied truth that we will find rest in. But the rebuke, listen to this, the rebuke comes to some of us. When Jeremiah says, but you said, we will not walk in it. That means we will not obey. We are just receiving the teaching, but we will not obey. We will not walk in it. And here lies the call of Jeremiah. It calls for repentance. A repentance from regarding Jesus only as your teacher, but not as Lord. So are you at a crossroad right now? A decision to make? A loss in your life? Maybe you're grieving and you are hurting? A comfort that you need? You may even be going nuts inside with anxieties at this time of pandemic, at this time of uncertainties. You could be even be losing your job. Your finances are affected. And what do you do? Is Jesus teacher or is he Lord? You are at a crossroad. And Hebrews chapter 2 verse 1 reminded us, we must pay the most careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard. What have we heard? The Word of God. So we must pay the most careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard. Why? So that we do not drift away. You see, some of us are drifting. I told you earlier that at the age of about 30, I asked myself, how can I live a life in such a way that I will not drift? And even if I do, I can realign. How would I keep the course? How would I walk the ancient paths? I remember sitting down for quite a number of weeks to write down what I would like to see happen when I finally arrive at the 60-year mark. And 30 years ago, I wrote down what my life would be like at 60. So I wrote down, in the light of ancient paths, what my vision and mission would be like to take me there. And I wrote down the kind of effect I hope I will have on people at my funeral. I would, even at the age of 30, wrote down my funeral program. The reason I do that is because I'm reminded of the brevity of life. If I know how I want to end, then I know how I ought to live. Like I said, to drift takes no effort at all. To stay on course is difficult work. But what a reward it will reap. So here's a big idea again. Acting on a right decision at a crossroad will lead to a place of rest. So stop and look. Ask, then walk. So what do you think the Holy Spirit wants you to do today? How can you walk in the ancient paths? And some of us need to repent. As we come to acknowledge that we have made wrong decisions in our lives, we have been running our own lives. And some of us need to come up with a stop doing list. And others of us, we have a great to-do list. But remember, it's our dependence on the Lord in our daily walk with Him. So I pray that today, that as you listen to this message, you're reminded of your life in God. So shall we bow our head right now? Bow our head to say to the Lord in humility that God, you are my Lord, not just my teacher. You are the Lord of my life. And I pray that, Lord, today, even as I listen to your word, I listen to it with a view of obeying your word. And so even as we come before God right now, different ones of us may have different issues in our lives. Will you come in repentance before God? Will you come and allow the Holy Spirit to work in your life right now? Surrender the issues of your life to God. Bring them before God and allow Him to touch you. And while you're doing that, there may be some of us here who are not Christians, or maybe you're backslided away from God. And let me speak to you right now, just for a short moment. I believe that you're not here by chance. You are here because God has brought you, you know, to this online service. And I pray that through this, you're reminded that you need this God in your life. Now, how do you do that? And I've led many people, you know, in this journey of faith, I call it. You may not know entirely what you're getting yourself into, but you do know about this Jesus. And this Jesus is the person that will make a difference in your life. And if that is the desire of your heart, you can make a simple prayer to God. And this simple prayer is the start of a journey. It is a decision you're making. All right. And in this decision, you're saying to God that, Lord, with God, will you do something in my life? So how do you do that? You simply say to God, sorry, and you say thank you, and you say please. And many people have found these three things, simple things that they can say to God as a beginning of the journey towards God. And so here's what you need to say. You say sorry for all that you have done in your life. You're sorry about the sins of your life, the things, the wrong decisions you have made. And then you thank Jesus that on the cross, He died for you. What an amazing thing that although we deserve to die for our sins, but yet this Jesus died on the cross for me. And then thirdly, you say, please, please come to my life. Now, if that expresses the desire of your heart, I want to pray with you to help you, you know, make a definite decision. Now on the screen, if you are on the computer, there's a screen, an icon that says raise hands. Now if you desire to say this prayer, to invite this Jesus in your life, at the count of three, this is what I want you to do. All right? Either you click on that icon or where you are right now, just raise your hands where you are. This will be an indication in your heart to God that you're serious about this decision. So are you ready? At the count of three, then I'll pray with you. Okay, ready? One, two, and three. Right. The praise, you know, either you raise your hands or you press that icon right now. But as you do that, will you bow your heads and let's pray together and repeat this prayer in your hearts quietly. Dear Lord Jesus, I'm sorry for the sins in my life. I'm sorry for the wrong decisions that I have made. I'm sorry for the people I've hurt, or I myself have been hurt by others because of the wrongs that I have done. And so today, thank you for dying on the cross for me, that I receive the forgiveness of my sins, that on the cross, Jesus, thank you, that instead of me on the cross, you went to the cross for me. Please come to my life and make me a new person. Help me, Lord, to live life with a difference starting from today. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you have made that or say that prayer in your own heart, that begins the journey for you. And so if you need, you know, someone to just journey with you in this, you know, you can very easily click the button that says request a prayer. And someone will come to you and just help you in your journey of life. For the rest of us, if you need any prayer, you know that, you know, we open up this time for you to just request prayer, that someone will pray for you and allow you, you know, to be maybe comforted by the Holy Spirit in ways that you can never imagine. So even as I close right now, why don't you just raise your hands to the Lord and receive a benediction and a blessing from God. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you again for being with us. And we pray that as we encounter the days ahead of us, may the presence of Christ, God, be real and tangible for each and every one of us. So the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So God bless you. Have a great week ahead of you. And I hope to see you this coming weekend as well. God bless.